Welcome to the Pirate Podcast. We are recording from the Silver Lake Studios in Los Angeles, and to be brutally honest, we have cobbled this episode together just so that we can get something out there and see if there is any traction. There are 400,000 artists signed up to Pirate, so if we can engage just 1% of you, then I think that our job is done. So, why are we here? Well, the primary purpose of the podcast is to showcase the best up-and-coming artists at Pirate, predominantly in LA to begin, but with a sprinkling of international talent. We'll be playing multiple songs on each episode from a mixture of breaking and established artists. Second to this, we want to provide support and insights to artists at the various stages of their journey, much like we do with our global events, both online and at the studios. On each episode, we want to hear the journey of at least one established artist through an interview, hearing about their journey, their ups, their downs, and advice that they'd give to others in the community. We'll also aim to interview one industry pro each episode, be that an artist manager, an agent, A&R, distributor, playlister, you name it. On top of this, we'll be making customer-focused announcements, reminding our artists of events at their local studios and giving away $200, pounds or euros worth of studio credit, depending, of course, on where the lucky winner lives. Our overall goal is to replicate this podcast in every pirate city with an equally diverse subsection of pirate employees at the helm, keeping things local while simultaneously reducing the workload on my incredible hosts and I. So, I should probably introduce myself, and then I'll be handing over to my co-host to introduce themselves before welcoming our first guest, Disco Shrine. So, I'm Sammy, Vice President of Pirate North America and one of the founders. Now, unlike my esteemed co-hosts, I have to confess, I'm utterly devoid of any musical talent. But fear not, in a past life, I was a video producer. So I've rallied this talented bunch together to craft what I hope will become a staple podcast, spotlighting the incredible talent emerging from our studios while offering some sage advice for artists at every stage of their journey. If you're based in LA, you might have caught me lounging in the Silver Lake communal area or maybe lurking around an open session in West Adams, probably annoying Danny while they expertly run the show. This podcast likely won't drop in time for the groundbreaking news. My debut 15-minute open session at West Adams is in February. Brace yourselves, LA, for the musical stylings of DJ Not Very Good At All. But hey, if you're into a shit DJ spinning some disco house beats around 125 BPM, featuring the likes of Dom Dolla, Jamie XX, Armin Van Helden, and Over Mono, then I might just be your cup of tea. Consider this a roundabout way of showcasing my eclectic taste in music, though I must admit, some people at Pirate might describe it as questionable at best, if only Incubus sounded good at 125 BPM. Now, I will pass the mic over to my co-hosts for their intros, but let me just say this. Our team embodies the essence of what makes Pirate so special. With a diverse range of talents spanning different departments and disciplines, collaborating with them is an absolute joy.
Hey, hey, my name is Kate, and I would really like to listen to that mix, Sammy, so drop it, feel free whenever, and let me know. I am the CX team lead and the facilities operations coordinator at Pirate Studios, so you may have spoken with me over chats, the phones, or emails if you've reached out to the support team. I'm usually working remote, but you may have seen me in the Silver Lake location either working or using a studio artistically for my music project Feathers. My background started in theater, acting, managing, and in the shop building sets, which really came in clutch when I joined an acid doom metal band that had a flair for the dramatics. If you find that hard to believe from my voice, we were best described as Amy Winehouse jamming with Caius at a desert LSD party, so take that as you will. After touring with them, I wanted to pursue my own writing career in music and production, and that's where Feathers is at this point. You can find me on guitar, now singing with my full band of all of the music and lyrics that I've written. I took the pandemic to learn more about engineering and expanded my knowledge of drivers, plugins, and mostly the appreciation of engineers. When I'm not on chats or helping the facilities team with the US locations, I'm booking gigs in Los Angeles for my band. So far, I've played the Viper Room, Molly Malone's, Hotel Cafe, and looking for more, but not confined to the greater Los Angeles area. It is really liberating to create art and get it out there without the help of a huge label or even another engineer, and that's what caught my eye for Pirate. I love being able to push myself creatively and having the space to make mistakes, experiment, and grow.
Hello, I'm Danny, radio show host and DJ born and raised in the outskirts of LA. More importantly, I'm the site manager at Pirate West Adams. Yes, I'm the one you can blame for that missing cable in the spares closet. But all jokes aside, I jumped at the opportunity to work at Pirate because I'm a fan. I learned how to use CDJs here when they first opened in LA, produce my radio show here, and I'm constantly meeting up with friends who are working on their next project at Pirate. It just feels like a place where I can really hone in. I can learn and create without some strange pressure to get my work done. But more about myself, I suppose. My journey with music started early in life. I was fascinated by song choices in movies and television as a little kid, and I dreamed of music supervising, but when I was small, I didn't know what it was called. I just said that I would pick songs that were in the movies. But yeah, music plays such an emotional role in films, and I love how it can really add and help tell a story. This interest for music supervision kind of became a couple things as I grew older and ultimately evolved into some sort of music journalism. I loved public radio and volunteered at KCRW the first chance I got when I was in college. Eventually became a PA for DJs that I grew up listening to on air. Really exciting stuff. I learned a lot about the work that goes into hosting a radio show, how knowledgeable one should be about the music they're sharing, and the commitment one makes to exposing new and exciting artists. So, I'm stoked to be on here on this podcast trying out this new project with the team.
Hey, my name's Noah Davies. I'm the site manager for Pirate Silver Lake, and I'm a producer and musician. I play with a band called Nightfire primarily, and I also put music out as Field Trip. Playing with those projects is what brought me to Pirate in the first place. Came here to rehearse. Shortly after that, saw a job opening. Hopped on it. Here I am years later, which is pretty great, honestly. The greatest aspect I have found while working here in terms of bettering myself as a musician, as a person even, has been exploring the different types of rooms. Around the time I started working here, I was beginning to think about branching out into things beyond just playing. I mostly do session work, playing and producing, but Pirate's been a great resource while I've worked here to explore the DJing realm and just doing more production stuff, more types of work within audio in general, even beyond music. Here we are now, podcasting. First podcast take ever.
For the past 6 years, she's been a consistent presence in both the LA music scene and far beyond. What's remarkable is that she's been largely self-managed during this time, crafting a career as a singer-songwriter with a breakthrough performance at School Night. From there, she ventured into releasing EPs, touring extensively, and seamlessly transitioning into the DJ world. With multiple tours under her belt and gigs across the US, Disco Shrine has remained true to her roots as the original Persian Barbie. Fun fact, she wraps up every DJ set with the song Barbie Girl by Aqua. Her journey is one of resilience, creativity, and staying authentic to herself, yet in many respects is only just begun. A journey I believe our pirate artists can glean valuable insights from. So, welcome to the podcast, Disco Shrine.
Woo!
Yay!
All right.
I love that. I love that. Oh my God, wait, I love your nails too.
Thank you. Oh, because look, Barbie and Ken.
Okay, so to clarify, one side's pink and one side's blue.
Yes.
And they're like a translucent pink and blue. Awesome.
Exactly, yes.
Amazing. So what's happening?
I'm going to ask some questions.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I wasn't sure whether we were actually cutting before that.
No, I'm not cutting.
Oh, you're not cutting?
Are we not cutting?
No.
All right, okay. Anything to add about this?
Send it.
Okay, fine.
Okay, wait, are you good?
We're fully sending this.
I do know more than your average interviewer would about you, and there's so much to get through that I thought I'd just jump right in with the questions and see how things flow from there.
Okay, cool. Sounds good.
Okay, first up, tell us how it all began for Disco Shrine. How did you know you wanted to be a performer, and what did you do to achieve that?
Yes, so I think I've always been a little performer on the inside. I actually recently just got some old film digitalized back from when I was a kid, and on it was me making my whole family stop in the middle of like a family gathering, sit down, and basically I sang them a song that I wrote that day. And the only lyrics were like, I love my sister so much. She's the best sister in the world, just like repeatedly. And then I bowed and like exited the room. So
that's incredible.
So it's safe to say, I think that I was born with it maybe and realized it later on in life. But I think 16 is when I picked up a guitar for the first time. And music for me at that age was really therapy. So I would go into my closet and hide and cry and sing about all the boys that broke my heart and all the boys I had crushes on. Yeah. And then as I got older, it still stuck with me, but I never took it too seriously because I thought, I don't know, I didn't really know anyone that was doing music, to be honest. And once I went into college, I met more people who did music. And that's when I realized that, you know, I could have two pathways. I could do a 9-to-5 and be, you know, just a regular, hardworking, admirable American, or I could follow my dreams and do what makes me happy. And so I quit my very brief 9-to-5 after college, got a waitressing job, and just started doing the music thing, really. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. I do want to say real quick that it's so wild because for context, like, I know you said you might know more than like the average interviewer, but I've known Disco Shrine since I was like 14. Since I was like 13.
Wow,
or 14.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. Like, good friends with my older brother, and I saw the very early stages of like the music. When you talked about like writing songs about like broken heart, I was like, I was at the homeroom? Yeah, hillbilly hit with the hat. And there was this venue called Homeroom, which I don't know if anyone would know.
No, it's been gone forever.
But I felt so cool, like, watching somebody that I knew, like, playing music. I'm like, oh, my God, I know them. Aww. Like,
okay, well,
performing.
Fun fact, the Hillbilly Hip Show was my first ever, like, performance ever. And
that's
it was
insane.
An open mic night at this cool thrift store in the canyons of Topanga. And I played guitar and you came.
Yeah.
And that's crazy because there was like not that many people.
Yeah, yeah. Just a small group. Yeah.
And I sang two of my first songs ever. And back then I was more like folky artist, very like floppy hats and long floral dresses. And so you've seen the evolution.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Would we call this a floppy hat? I know no one can see. Well, actually, I suppose we can't we?
This is kind of a floppy hat, like a floppy bucket hat.
Yeah,
yes.
I'm liking it. I'm digging
less
it.
Less surface.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Love it. One more piece of clarification, Danny. Were you there when Disco did the original song for her sister?
The original song? No, I don't know if I was.
Because actually, you don't know how old were you at that?
Oh, no, I definitely wasn't there for that.
No,
are you kidding me?
Young.
As a toddler?
I must have been like 8 or something at that point. So.
I'm not that big. I'm not one of the OG fans.
Okay.
But you entered my life shortly after.
So. Yeah, it was pretty early on. Pretty early on. But
yes.
Okay. Thank you, Disco.
Of course.
Second question. I know I don't need to say that every time. By the
That's
way,
okay.
Yeah.
I like this. This is the beginning.
Yeah,
of
we've got 1,000 of them to get through, so
yes.
We might as well just list them out.
Gotta hurry.
How do you approach songwriting and finding inspiration for your music?
I think that songwriting can be approached in many ways. Technically speaking, the thing that I do is... Well, you know what? First, I'll say I think the best thing for inspiration is just to experiment as much as you can, because as an artist, your input ends up becoming what your output is. So what you digest and your world experiences end up informing the kind of art that you make. And so I would say
like, not to be too hard on yourself if you don't really get that inspiration or anything right away, because you really just have to experience life and, like, go out there and see what you like and what you don't like and write it all down and just go out there with, like, big, wide, deer eyes and soak it all in and find ways to capture those moments. And for me, I like to keep notes. I have, like, 100 million notes on my app. And I know a lot of other artists do this, too. But whenever I come across anything, like, if I'm watching a movie and someone says something I like, or if I, you know, see like a billboard, or even if I hear another song or I like fashion or anything that inspired me, I'll just write it down on my notes. And when I'm making music, I'll go back and revisit them and see how I feel and if anything inspires me or re-inspires me from those notes in the moment. So, yeah.
We're going to hear some songs from you later. And what I would like to hear is how you got the inspiration for those songs.
Yeah.
So that's something to bear in mind. Remind me to ask you.
Okay. I would love that. Definitely a few of those songs were birthed in the notes app of my phone.
Got it.
Nice. I'm curious, Noah, have you ever birthed a song out of your notes app?
Oh, yeah. I think it's a common practice, as you were saying,
yes,
amongst artists and songwriters. I've been meaning to do sort of a deep dive, like a clean out, because 100 million I know is not hyperbolic in any sense. It can get pretty overwhelming. Same with voice memos, I would say.
Yeah, same.
Like, just I have a large void of voice memos on my phone, but it's fun to go back through them and like explore, because you forget all the time, like stuff you've written down or ideas you've had.
I agree. And it's also this weird time capsule of just emotions.
Yeah,
and
totally.
Like song growth, too. Like when I scroll down voice memos, you know, you'll listen to old songs and you'll be like, whoa, so different than now, you know?
I think it's also really cool and like helpful when you have an idea that like lasts a really long time and it still interests you like years later. I feel like those are, I mean, obviously you can't spend that much time on every song. That wouldn't be realistic or efficient. But for some, it's like, oh, well, this one, it still seems like it would be cool. So might be timeless,
that.
Might be a hit.
That's a good point. Someone told me recently that it's the songs that you make that you still love, like over time, even years after you made it, that are like the timeless ones. Like
totally.
Those are the ones that you know that you did like a good
job.
Yeah,
and I think the default as an artist is to like pretty much be over something as soon as you release it.
Yeah.
So the few, I feel like for every batch of songs, there are a few that are like, I do like to listen to this one still. Like those ones are special for sure.
True.
One of the things I equally love and hate about working at Pirate is I'm always the least creative person in the room.
No.
It's lovely to hear you guys talking through all this.
We need you.
Not true.
But like I say, I love it and I hate it, you know? But it's all good. It's all good. We're going to move on. What advice would you give to aspiring artists who are trying to find their unique sound and style?
Yes. I think that it's just don't put too much pressure on yourself, because it will be what it is, and you're going to hear music and you're going to be inspired. And also, like, this day and age, music is so genre bending that, you know, you can make a rap album or EP and then make an emo album or EP and then go back to rap if you didn't like it so much. And I know Princess Nokia did that, and so much music is just like meshing into different sounds and different genres that you can kind of do everything and anything. So I would say, like, don't put yourself in a bubble and just experiment and be nice to yourself as you're growing and learning, because it's easy to feel like you need to have this confident persona as an artist. But I found that when I ask people, you know, if I could ask them some questions about how they got to where they are and what they've learned and if they have any advice to share, that people are pretty receptive to that for for the most part. And people like to talk about themselves. So
yeah, I was going to say, it's not hard to get people to do.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. So I would say not to be afraid to do that. And I've done that in the past. And I still do that with, you know, DJs that I see or meet. And I've gotten some gigs out of it just from going and talking to people. So you never know, like, what could happen.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
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 Do you like that?
This one, I'm skipping a couple here.
Okay.
But I think that a lot of pirate artists would be keen to know the answer to this one. At what point did you decide to become a DJ? And how did you make that happen and why?
Yes. actually, this is kind of crazy, but I didn't really plan to be a DJ at all. I was making my own music and doing the live band thing. And then a friend of mine asked me if I wanted to DJ his album release party. And I said yes. And I fully didn't know how to DJ at all. So a friend of mine knew how to DJ. And basically, I bought him dinner for like a week straight and would go over his house. And he would just teach me like everything he knew. And then I don't know, like Danny probably was there during that time.
I do kind of remember that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, when that's I was learning when how we were to living DJ. Together. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I remember that. Yeah. We lived together.
Disclaimer,
also.
Disclaimer. We also live together. So I used to just like go in the living room. I had a little DJ set up and I would just practice, and it would be a party in the living room with like me and my roommates. And I did my first show and it was awesome. And then after that, you know, people started asking me if I could DJ other things. And then I just started doing it more and more. And it really became a fun, creative outlet for me, because it's the live music thing is really fun, but it's also so different to DJ and play music in front of like a crowd that's also like not just your music. And you can kind of like, it's sort of like a challenge, like to get them going and dancing. And I love a good challenge always. And so, you know, it's very fulfilling, I would say, musically in a different way than performing live is. And then,
nice.
And then, yeah, I just started doing it more and more and I loved it. And I just dived in full force. And so it's what I love now.
I love that.
Didn't you do a DJ set recently that I saw or something?
Yeah.
You've done a similar.
I'm getting back into DJing for the first time since probably I was in college. So yeah, like 5 or 6 years. But it's cool. I did it all like with a computer and like a controller via a computer when I did it back then. But because I work at Pirate and there's rooms with CDJs sitting around me while I'm at work, it's been a great way to learn them. And you know, that's kind of what most places have. So did my first one last week, went pretty well.
Ooh.
And now we're hungry for more. We're doing it like as the band, and it, like you were saying, it's like satisfying in a different way. And it's also for us, it's great because we kind of came up with the band like having parties and like doing house shows, which was a great way to kind of keep ourselves in people's keep ourselves in people's mind. And yeah, the DJing thing is just so much easier to just do that, because like with playing live you can oversaturate yourself and then people won't want to buy tickets all the time. But like DJing, it's kind of like, I don't know, I feel like you can do it as much as you want, sort of.
Yeah, I think so too. I agree. And there's also like, but I think that something that's really cool about DJing too is that you can incorporate like the live element of it. Like that's something that I do, is like I'll go out in front of the decks and I'll sing some songs, or like I'll have backup dancers and I'll perform, like do like all the cute things that I would do like during a live show. And so like with that, like it's kind of like cool to like combine the both worlds.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. Best of both worlds.
Yeah, and I think that some people who just do live music would find that intimidating, and some people that just do DJing would find that intimidating. But it's cool when you have like both of that those worlds.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Sweet. And I think there's like also something, and it goes to say that like there's something for everyone too. Like it can be like, I don't know. I think it's cool that all of those can exist. Like, yeah. somebody just doing a DJ set, somebody just doing a live set, those things being able to combine.
Me too.
And also, like, just morph into new things. And I don't know.
There's just so Very much cool. to do, too, like, with DJing. Like, it's, like, just this giant board of, like, possibilities yeah. and wonder. And, like, I was just reminiscing because Skrillex came, like, last weekend and popped up at a show in L.A. And it was a random show that he was not on the lineup for and just started DJing. And, like, he's just incredible and so talented. Yeah. And just, like, how quick he is with things and how clever he is with transitions and stuff. Like, I feel like with DJing, it's really inspiring when you see something like that, because you're like, it's just, there's so much you could do.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds just like me.
Yeah, that's going to be Sammy soon. He's going to be the next Skrillex. Soon? I don't know if you knew this.
What do you mean soon?
I did.
Oh, it's sorry. It's his debut.
He's Skrillex.
Yeah, that is Skrillex, actually, yeah, across from us at the table. Yeah. His debut is at the Open Sessions next week.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. What about up-and-coming artists? Any that you have your eye on right now that you could tell us about?
Yes. I love this artist called Nostalgics. Have you guys heard of her?
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
She's no. so cool. She's also Persian, so maybe I'm a little biased. But
no.
But she's this really cool, like, Persian DJ who's just killing it. And I discovered her because she was playing this music festival called Gold Rush that was my first music festival ever that I got booked at. And she's just very talented and cool, and all the stuff she produces, like, everything herself. And she does super cool collaborations. And she also, it feels like very, like, from the ground up, which I think is really relatable for me, because I don't come from a family of, like, music. And I don't come, you know, I really, everything that I did to get to where I am here was really just me mm-hmm. like shooting my shot.
Yeah.
And I think with her, like, I see that, and I see, like, how much she's grown and where she's at now and all this fans and festivals and cool things she's doing. And that's, like, super inspiring to see.
Love it. Nostalgics.
Nostalgics. Yes.
Okay. Yes.
We'll yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I'm gonna have to check that out.
Yeah. We'll put some links in the social
cool.
copy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. What is up next for Disco Shrine? What are you working on, and where can we see you perform next?
So I just got off tour with this other really cool female artist, Nina Jirashi, and I've just been writing a ton of music, to be honest, and that's kind of where my focus is right now. Is I have a bunch of, like, club bangers, you know, in the queue.
Nice.
I've been practicing some of them at Pirate. You know, I came here for the tour, before the tour to practice. Nice. So I'm just really excited about getting all of those out. And that's my main focus. So, yeah. And then, of course, shows and stuff. But we to be announced.
Yeah, working on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Love it.
So this next song is a new unreleased song. It's called Disco Daddy, and this is one of the songs that was birthed from the Notes app. So this one was on there for maybe over a year, and before it found its life in this song. So I hope you enjoy, and this is probably the first song I'm going to release of my new music, and you guys are getting the first sneak peek.
Disco Daddy, let me drop you the addy. Time to live it up, come meet me at the party. They call me Disco Daddy, let me drop you the addy. Yeah, it's time to live it up, come meet me at the party. They call me Disco Daddy, let me drop you the addy. Yeah, it's time to live it up, come meet me at the party. They call me Disco Daddy, let me drop you the addy. Yeah, it's time to live it up, come meet me at the party. They call me Disco.
Disco.
Okay, so this next song is called You Plus Me, and it's another new track that I made recently, and it's actually a flip of that Donna Lewis song, Love You Always Forever. So, yeah, I hope you love it as much as I love it.
I wanna drive away. I wanna take you to tomorrow. You must go away. You don't really know me. Do you wanna know me? I wanna kiss your lips. Take a taste, it's like a cherry and a chocolate dip. You don't really know me. Do you wanna know me? Seems like I'm cool, but I'll tell you I'm not. So nervous, cause you're what I want. You don't even know. You don't even know. You're like a dream, I thought I couldn't have it. So heaven with you that it's bad. You don't even know. You don't even know. I'm gonna give you all of me. Paint a picture with my heart and hang it up to see.
Okay, that is the interview done and dusted. I feel like I learned a lot, and I'm hoping everyone listening agrees. You can find Disco Shrine's various links in the social copy accompanying this podcast, hopefully. I mean, I've never done this before, so I might need to caveat that. I should also have probably caveated a lot more along the way. As we close out the pod, we still need to announce all the exciting events upcoming in our studios throughout March, and of course, we need to let you know what you need to do to be in with a chance of winning $200, pounds, or euros, depending on where you live. First up, announcements. On March 6th, we have another Orcs event in our Birmingham studios. Format for this is producers come and they get to play their song, I think up to 2 minutes, in front of an audience, and then discuss. I believe that there's a vote for the best one or two or three, and at the end of the night you get a prize, I think. On March 13th, we have an amp event in our London and Dalston studios. Amp being the same format I just described, but for bands instead, which I actually discovered today, which sounds pretty cool. So presumably based out of the rehearsal studios. On March 20th, we have another Orcs event, one in Dalston and one in our Gowanus studios. The Gowanus one is special that month, as we're collaborating with DistroKid, who will be bringing a special guest along to listen to your tracks. Please also note that as of March 18th, all Pirate customers can access a 50% discount to DistroKid. On March 27th, we have open sessions in Birmingham and Dalston with a jam night in our Norwich studios on March 28th. And finally, on March 28th, we have open sessions in our Gowanus and West Adams studios. All event dates are subject to change, of course, except I suspect the DistroKid one. You can get all this information from Pirate's Instagram account too, so if you don't follow, then go to @pirateofficial and click follow. That's the announcements done with, so on to the competition. So, we debated long and hard on this one, didn't we, team? Clearly, we've left the competition element until the end, so that y'all need to listen until this point. And we think that we've got a good one for you. Considering this is our first ever podcast and we didn't get a chance to talk to you, the pirate community, about what you do and don't want to hear, please, please, please email us with feedback, suggestions and brilliant ideas, and we can look to refine towards something you'll find both interesting and useful. We're all extremely thick-skinned, except for Danny, who can't take a joke. Kidding!
It's so true.
So just go crazy. And here's something more crazy for you. Send it to me, sammy@pirate.com. That's S-A-M-M-I for indigo @pirate.com. Best suggestion wins the prize. I should mention that Pirate Podcast is a working title for now, as Pirate's head of communications, Dan Davis, aka the dude with the moustache and hat on our socials, does not like the name. And he works in comms, so you can't really argue with it. So watch this space, I guess. And then finally, thanks to our guests, our hosts, everyone who contributed to Podcast One, and most importantly, thanks to you for listening. You rock.